Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Gosh, Karando, Halush, Bula, Mandoa. It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century from I Love Lucy to News Radio. I'm your TV guide, Brett White, and I'm also a reporter-producer for Decider.com. This week I'm joined by a fellow reporter-producer from Decider.com, Kayla Cobb. Hello, Kayla.
Hi, Brett. Thanks for having me.
Ooh, it's All in the Family. Except we're not doing All in the Family.
No, that'd be a good one. We're doing Boy Meets World.
Yeah, I've still never done All in the Family on this show. What is your area of expertise at Decider? I think all my listeners know that I write about sitcoms and gay shit and superheroes.
I'd say my expertise is probably dark shit. I do a lot of documentaries, a lot of true crime stuff, a lot of crime dramas. So basically, Breaking Bad, Ozark, anything like dark
literally
with murder.
Dark.
Literally the show Dark.
Literally the show
that's
Dark.
German.
And also Masked Singer.
Yes.
Don't forget The Hot Garbage.
Oh, I forgot about that. And all Ryan Murphy things come to me.
Yeah.
He is my king.
What a magical year we're living in, where you're having, you get both 911, The Politician, and Masked Singer.
Mm-hmm. And Pose.
And El Camino.
Oh, God.
All at once.
It's truly...
And
it's
me.
Embarrassment of
I'm just getting to watch a whole bunch of bad Netflix sci-fi shows. But this week, we're traveling to October 31st, 1997. I Know What You Did Last Summer ruled the box office. Candle in the Wind, 1997, by Elton John, topped the charts. And ABC aired the Boy Meets World episode, The Witches of Pembroke. Kayla, you must have seen The Witches of Pembroke before today.
Yeah, I was actually a giant Boy Meets World fan growing up, so I have seen this one before. It's kind of funny because I didn't think that this was like the big Boy Meets World Halloween episode.
They have a couple. And they also have that infamous horror one that everyone thinks is a Halloween, but it aired in May.
Yep, that's
which
the
is,
one.
I get persnickety in particular. I'm like, it aired in May. It wasn't.
Yeah, that's the one I thought that was the real Halloween one, but I was wrong.
Well, the other, so like, I didn't realize this, but last time I did a whole month of Halloween episodes, I talked about the Boy Meets World episode, Who's Afraid of Corey Wolf?
Yeah.
But that is like season two Boy Meets World, which is kind of a completely different show.
Yeah.
From season five Boy Meets World.
I feel like Boy Meets World is one of those shows that had, from season to season, it almost changed dramatically.
Yeah. Well, didn't they, like, they jumped a lot of years between seasons one and two. Like, they jumped from being, like, in elementary school to, like, middle school. Like, the age doesn't.
No. The ages don't make sense. Doesn't make sense why Mr. Feeny's always there. But he is.
Yeah, you want him there. So what was the appeal of Boy Meets World to you in your original run? During its original run?
Now that I'm watching it as an adult, I think what I really liked is, like, it has that kind of after-school special vibe where everything works out and it's really nice.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also very wacky.
Yeah.
And it's, like, there's some legitimately great jokes in it. And
yeah.
So I think that's what I was responding to, is how weird it got.
Well, and even, again, like, I think when it started out, it was a lot more episode of the week, a lot more literally about, like, the boy meeting the world and adolescence and puberty. But then, like, as it goes on, Corey and Topanga become an elderly couple.
Oh, my God. And they lean into it hard.
And it's knowingly.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a completely different show. So that's why I'm excited to talk about a latter episode. So this week on Must Have Seen TV, we're talking about the Boy Meets World episode, The Witches of Pembroke. It's the fifth episode of season five and was written by Steve Hibbert and directed by Alan Meyerson. Here's how Prime Video and iTunes describe the episode. So Prime Video describes it as Jack is so thrilled that a beautiful girl is paying attention to him. Cut off. And then iTunes picks up. He basically is paying attention to him. He's willing to overlook one minor detail. She's a witch. Kayla, how accurate are those descriptions?
I mean, pretty dead on. That's so, exactly what happened.
Prime Videos, for some reason, there's only half of it. They didn't copy-paste the whole thing, I guess. And it cuts off with just, he's thrilled that a beautiful girl is paying attention to him.
I mean, that's also true.
That is true.
Also normally the Jack storyline in Boy Meets World.
So this is his fifth episode? Like, he came on in season 5, I think.
I believe that's right.
Because it seems like, they said a bunch in this episode, like, he's new in town, and, like, Eric's there to help him. And he is Joey Lawrence's little brother, yes. Matthew Lawrence.
Yes.
And this is post-Blossom, so Joey Lawrence has already made his mark on pop culture.
Yes, he's changed it for the better.
Opened up the doors to all the other little Lawrences to just run
right.
in.
And run amok.
One's run on to Boy Meets World, where he is Sean's older brother.
Yes.
Estranged older brother.
Yes.
Like half-brother, or?
I think it was a half-brother. I'm not 100% sure. I know he comes into the picture, I'm pretty sure, after Sean's dad dies.
Oh, Sean's dad dies.
Oh my god, you gotta watch it.
Oh, man.
It's really devastating. Boy Meets World was a lot like Scrubs in that, like, when it felt like punching, it really, really hurt.
Especially because you watch an episode like this, and you're like, this show could never break my heart, and then... Oh. No, that's not true.
It'll hurt you deep.
So, like, yeah, I didn't really watch all that much Boy Meets World. It definitely was in my era of TGIF, but for some reason, I was into the garbage shows. I mean, I love Family Matters, Full House, and Step by Step, and then, like, Dinosaurs. And I would watch Boy Meets World, but I never... I think that, okay, so, like, in 94 is when Friends debuted, and that's when I, like, it was my, like, I don't know, Rubicon that I crossed. I was like, Now I watch Thursday night. Like, I don't watch...
I mean, that's fair.
And Boy Meets World, most of Boy Meets World takes place after the 94-95 TV season, because it was still pretty new at that point, like, maybe... Two seasons in, three
and
seasons?
Very childish. Though. Yeah, they're in middle school.
Yeah,
like they're firmly in middle school.
And so, like, I never really knew that they got to college.
Yeah,
and do Cory and Topanga get married?
Yes, they do. They get married, and it's like, don't worry, they get back together after this episode. Oh no! I'm thinking about the other episode. They're all together in this episode.
Yeah, and so I never really knew that but like my cousins would still watch Boy Meets World, so I would like check back in and be like, oh wait, what? Like, who are all these people? Like,
yeah, it's really weird, and I think it's sorry for your listeners, but I'm a little bit younger than you, so I think it's just, like, the age gap.
Yeah. Because I was 10, and, like, I'm too old for a Boy Meets World, so maybe I was just a little shit.
Oh, no, when I saw it, and I'm like, these are my children. I am their age. And then I kind of grew up alongside it.
I mean, I'm a Michelle generation. Like, that's my age.
This is more my age.
Yeah.
Like...
Okay.
A slight overlap.
So, also, the weird thing about Boy Meets World, so the episode starts with the theme song,
yes.
And Boy Meets World never really had a consistent theme song.
Yep.
And this is the season where I wrote down, like, it is a Gin Blossoms-style, like, jangle, like, alt-pop, kind of 2 or 3 years after that was a big thing.
Yeah, that became their go-to theme song for a lot of it.
Oh, man.
This is the theme song I remember the most.
Yeah, it's just like, when this boy meets world,
and
the opening credits are all, it looks kind of like a Levi's ad from, like, the late 90s, because they're all, like, hanging. They're like, are they in a convertible at one point?
Yes, they definitely are.
Does one have a convertible?
No, I've never seen them, but Eric is definitely driving a convertible.
I wouldn't trust him with that.
God,
I wouldn't
no.
trust him with literally.
No, he's an idiot.
So the episode proper begins with Eric and Jack are going to, they're going to the club, and the club is named O'Dooley's.
O'Dooley's. You know, the Irish club.
Yeah, the Irish, like, nightclub where you go to pick up girls.
Mm-hmm. That's a thing.
That's weird. Is O'Dooley's featured prominently in other episodes?
I mean, I've never heard of this before. Also, you later learn those turned into a Starbucks, which is just a fun little detail.
Took Eric a long time to realize that. So as like, Eric is trying to, like, get Jack sucked up to go, and they, like, leave, and they immediately run into their new neighbor, the reason that I love this episode, Candace Cameron, off of Full House.
Oh, my God.
I mean, so, yeah, guys, spoiler alert, this episode features Candace Cameron playing a goth witch.
I had to pause it and do research, because I was like, there's no way in hell she would ever agree to do this.
Yeah.
And yet, here we are.
Yeah. In your research, did you find the article that I wrote for Decider last year about this? I wrote an article about, like, this one episode chronicles the 1 week of Candace Cameron's life where she was rebelling. Feels like,
oh, I kind of love that.
Yeah, because that has me with this. Because she go from Full House where she is like, you know, the like, not perfect, but like the wholesome.
DJ's perfect.
Yeah, all-American girl. And then like in her adult life, she is all-American, super Christian, super, super, super Christian.
Mommy blogger without being a mommy blogger.
Yeah, like that level of, you know, mommy blogger realness she's serving. And so to go back and watch this episode where she's literally like, black like makeup and like black crushed velvet shirts and crystals and like praying to Satan.
Insane Satan. It's, she said the word Satan a couple times. And like the devil.
Great. So like they run into her and so like it does, she seems normal at first.
Yeah.
Except that she already knows who Jack is.
Mm-hmm.
Also her name is Millie.
Her name is Millie. You know, the most evil witchy name ever.
Also, let's talk about Candace Cameron playing a bad guy.
She's terrible at
She's
it.
So bad. She's
very, very
good
bad.
God. And she, okay, so like Candace Cameron's comedy chops are fine on Full House.
She's perfectly
She's no Lori Loughlin.
No.
Hashtag Lori Loughlin innocent. No.
She did nothing wrong.
No, that was, that breakdown that I had that fateful day. It was probably worse than the one Lori Loughlin had, to be honest. I'm so upset. But her trying to play a bad girl is real bad.
Oh, no, she's too smiley. She's too girl next door. Even her hair is, like, a too perfect bob.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, makeup and costume didn't serve her well this
She time. Has the kind of attitude that's, like, everyone else, if she was really doing this, everyone would be like, what are you doing?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're not, why are you acting evil? Like, you're not being subtle. You're not even being, like, comedically subtle.
Yeah.
It's very a stretch.
She reminded me of that episode of Always Sunny where Dee's trying really hard to act arch and they keep calling her out on it. That's her.
Yeah, that's what it is. Except,
that's like her actual personality.
Except that this is an episode where she's playing evil and everyone is reading it as evil. So like, therefore it just feels very weird. Jack like is really horny basically. He's just like, I need anyone. Oh my God, she likes me. Yes. And so they start kiss, and I wanted to ask, how generally thirsty are the Boy Meets World audience? Because they are wooing immediately. Like, they are in this.
Noted that down. They wooed prematurely on this one.
Yeah.
Like, there's a line where, like, there's a little woo. There's a lot of wooing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of making out in Boy Meets World, especially later seasons.
Yeah, because they're old enough. They're ready to get down. They're down to clown.
Mm-hmm,
DTC.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's making out with everyone, except for Corey and Topanga. They only make out with each other. So, like, this is actually pretty... Fun fact, when I was younger, I was actually not allowed to watch the show.
It was too hot. Mm-hmm, too hot and heavy. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
So next we get to see... the next scene starts with Eric coming home from class? Work? What does he do? What are his days?
Something. His days. It's bad. Whatever.
He comes
it is.
In and he immediately is like,
hello? Anybody home? Nobody's home? Goodbye, pants!
So immediately takes off his pants and goes to the computer.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Unpack that. I didn't realize that.
I mean, that's probably one of the reasons why I wasn't allowed to watch this.
Yeah, man, that's a little subtle
joke. Definitely did it.
He's also wearing just like the most, when you say picture boxer shorts, you either picture oversized big boxers with hearts on them or smiley faces. And he's wearing a smiley face boxer.
Mm-hmm. It's very ABC.
Yeah. Yeah. He goes to the computer and we see, okay, I wanted to point out, did you look at what's on the computer monitor?
No.
It is obviously, it's like, you know, when you go to IKEA and they have those like cardboard computers that have like a printed thing of like what a desktop looks like.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Love it.
Like there's no, it is the most matte finish. Like there's no shine to it. And it looks like someone has a couple of like windows open and they're like half, but it's just like, this is printed on cardboard or something.
Oh my God.
I love that.
I forgot how cheap Boy Meets World looked. And it's like, this is in its fifth season.
Yeah.
Like, they just did not want to give it money.
No. Well, you know, we'll get to it, but they had special effects budget.
So
he opens up the window or whatever, like the window, and he sees that Millie and Jack are out there making out.
Getting it on.
Because they're going hot and heavy. This is where I wrote down, in all caps, is Eric now the boy meeting the world? Because Eric is the lead character of this episode.
Yeah.
I'm getting ahead of myself, but we don't see Corey until 6.5 minutes into this episode.
No. I mean, like, saying that he is the B-plot is generous. He's a C or D.
He has a D-plot that I don't even want to watch. I found it so boring.
It made no sense. They just, like, needed to put him there for a while.
He's Ben Savage, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Fred Savage is his older brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Is little Ben Savage in season 5 of Boy Meets World being like, hey, I'm the boy, guys. What's going on here? Eric's now the boy.
Maybe he knows that he's been the boy for so long, he's like happy to give it to someone else.
Pass the title on to Eric, who is the biggest boy of all.
Yeah, he figured out the world, and he's like, here's the rest of the world for you.
He did figure out the world. Mm-hmm. He's married, essentially, in... what, 10th grade, 11th grade?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, God.
Though, when the next episode, the scary one, and then there was Sean that premiered in March that we were talking about earlier, Corey and Topanga were broken up by then. So they get into a really big
little Ross and Rachel business.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when Millie starts intimidating Eric.
Yes.
Hi, Millie. You know, I'm really glad you and Jack hooked up. He doesn't have a lot of friends here.
It's very important for me to have Jack. Don't get in my way.
She needs Jack all to herself, Jack Hunter. She, like, wants to see the balcony, knows his last name is Hunter. Just serving him breakfast. And it is very... She's very bad.
She's terrible. Not intimidating. She's not intimidating. Not intimidating. It also just seems like she's... I guess she was going for evil, but she came across as creepy.
Yeah, it was like, very, stalker. Like... Yeah, it's very... It's kind of... Okay. It's the level of, if you ever watch Drag Race, when they do, like, acting challenges, it's, like, that level of, like, and not even, like, one of the good queens that can act, but, like, a mediocre queen that can act.
Yeah.
Specifically, if you watch All Stars Season 3 and the Bitchular Challenge, when Milk plays a stalker character, it's kind of that energy. That's very specific.
I like this, like, deep cut.
Yeah. Oh, so at this one I write down, Eric has a real Joey energy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a real Joey Tribbiani energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I will even point out, this is before Joey had that energy.
Yes. Well, the cool thing about, well, not cool, the thing I'm most fascinated by Eric is that he started off the show as the smart character. He was way smarter than Corey.
Yeah.
He would, like, pull one over in his parents left and right, but as the show continued, he became stupider.
Yeah, you wrote an article about that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, about how, yeah, it's like the gradual decline of Eric.
No, because in this episode, he is a full dum-dum.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by season 5, he is a raging moron.
Yeah.
Every single time he appears in the screen, but he's delightful.
But Will Friedle, like, you know, Will Friedle also the voice of Deadpool in Marvel's animated projects.
Yep.
So, like, hey, precursor, I guess.
He's got some comedy chops. He's fun.
It isn't until now that we also finally see Sean,
yeah,
the other boy that was meeting the world originally.
Mm-hmm. Also, Sean has, like, such a small role in this episode. He may as well not be in this episode.
So he's living there because his dad died. He needs somewhere to live and is now living with his brother.
Oh my God. So,
did they live in student housing? Or is that just an apartment building?
I think it's just an apartment building.
Because the witches are also all students too, I think.
I think so.
It might be like a community or a campus, like apartment building. My friends lived in those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It feels like something like that. Sean, okay, I know for a while he was living with his parents, but then his parents were always like really, really rough. And he lived with a teacher for a while.
Oh, Mr. What's his name?
Mm-hmm, Turner.
Mr. Turner.
Hot Mr. Turner.
Disappeared.
Yeah. And then he moved in with his brother.
Okay. And so he's also in high school, but he's living with college boys.
Yeah, it's super casual. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's totally fine. But this is when, like, DJ, which is Millie, DJ Tanner.
Yeah.
DJ Satan is like, another Hunter? Ooh, she's like, I love your balcony. Like, it's so thick.
She was freaking me out with all that balcony talk. I was like, what the hell is happening?
Also, that's when her roommates show up.
Yeah.
And I write out, like, they're all, like, craft extras.
First of all, that. Second of all, in that scene, Millie invites herself over to their apartment and then invites her roommates over to their apartment. That's the rudest move I've ever seen.
And also, like, later on, her cover for moving in is, like, her roommates are being rude. But then they're also, like, helping her move.
Yeah, they seemed really lovely people.
But they're all, like, decked out in, like, full, like, mm-hmm, Morticia Wednesday goth alterna realness, as interpreted by TGIF.
Yep.
I read out so much velvet and satin. The next thing we see is Eric watching a Halloween 9. And that is... It's the dumbest joke, but it's so stupid it's funny. I've just...
And now we return to the frightening conclusion of Halloween Part 9.
And, like, who, no human reacts to horror movies that way, just, like, full shoveling popcorn into your mouth and also screaming at the same time. How exhausted do you think Wilfredo was after a taping?
Oh, my God. He had to take a nap immediately. He had to do the most, like, physical comedy on that
this
show.
This is so much energy he's spending. Yeah. And because every single scene is he's going, like, Don Knotts on speed, in a way.
Oh,
like,
my God,
just,
yes.
It's just, like, so much, so fast. So this, unfortunately, is where we get to the D plot.
Oh, God.
6.5 minutes in, finally we see Corey and Topanga. They're at the house, which, where is their little sister and also their parents?
I think they've moved out. Oh,
is Corey just living there alone?
No, that can't be right, because they're,
like, the
still,
parents are not...
they're still in high school, because they're,
Yeah, so they're going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
For, like, the weekend,
yeah.
And Topanga thinks they're gonna drive, but no, Corey bought plane tickets, and she's afraid of flying, and...
I don't know why this needed to exist.
It's so wild that, like, if your A-plot is witches are trying to sacrifice two of your cast members to a fucking, like, moon crystal...
Yes.
You don't even give it a B or D plot. Like, just do that.
You're done. You did your work for the day.
You did a lot. You don't need to, like, bring in. And then if you're going to do it, I think that Topanga's afraid of flying maybe isn't strong enough.
It definitely isn't. And why not do more with the witches?
Yeah.
Why not, like, pick one of the roommate witches and do something?
And then they
could
also be after Corey for some reason.
Perfect.
For, like, an ulterior reason. Also, isn't Topanga kind of like touchy-feely, earthy-worthy?
She used to be, and then as the show went on, she became less, so.
Don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when I, so Topanga in like season 1 and 2 is the nemesis.
Oh my God, Corey hates her.
Yeah, and so like that's the Topanga I knew, so then when I would check back in later on, I'd be like, wait a second. What happened to Topanga? Where's Minkus?
She got, like, a big overhaul around, like, season 3 or 4, somewhere in there, where she just became, like, the smart girl. And, like, later they, like, acknowledge, like, oh, you have weird parents, but you're cool.
So then we go back, and this is where... Oh, I didn't write down. Were high schoolers ever that old? No.
No.
God. There's, like, a latter season Christmas episode that's even worse, where they're just, like... leaning into it. No, I think there's like a plot where they're like eating Werther's can. Like it gets really like, I don't know. I guess that was fun for them to play. Who knows? So Candace Cameron is out on the balcony, swirling around some scars, behind a whole bunch of candles, just reciting some nonsense.
Witching it up.
Tashkarando, Halushbula, Mandona Uba, Kushkura. Lord of Darkness, ruler of the anguished on All Hallows' Eve, your work will be done, but there is one who stands in the way.
Which means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. I did try to translate it to see if they had, like, snuck any, like, Satan message. Is it backwards anything? Haruk, Hasuk, Abu? No. Okay.
It's just nonsense.
No, yeah. But then Eric comes out because he... basically, the funny line, I heard you talking to Satan. Which is really good. And later even says, like, she belongs to El Diablo.
I really did love that line read.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was a very, very good line read from him.
It's also just wild to hear a TGIF show talk about Satan.
Oh, very casually,
like, that
for a long time.
That doesn't ever happen. That's totally weird.
Yeah.
And great. Honestly, it's so surprising. I love it.
It was really fun.
Yeah. So this is when Millie's moving in. It's going to be a crowded apartment. The next scene is all of the roommates that she's apparently having problems with helping her move in.
Yes.
But I guess if you're having trouble with a roommate, maybe you really want them out.
But I also don't understand the time frame between when Jack met Millie and when she's moving
in.
Oh,
it's been like 2 days?
At the very...
Maybe 48 hours?
At the most.
Yeah. It's a lot. And I wrote down that DJ is wearing a, like, crushed velvet, like, scoop neck, long sleeve shirt, and, like, a crystal around her neck. It is so, you know, edgy Elisa Loeb. Like,
it's like a middle schooler's rendition of what an edgy witch would wear.
Yeah. Or I guess it's what, like, Lord looked like 2 years ago.
Oh.
Is that also? It's also what, like, modern teens.
Yeah.
Like Billie Eilish dresses like the scary boys from when I was in high school. Like that's what she
does. That's pretty dead on.
Yeah. Also, she's going to sleep on the balcony. When they're like, where's she going to sleep? No, she's going to sleep on the balcony. She loves it out there.
Oh, I thought that was just a joke. But no, I guess she was actually going to sleep on the balcony.
Which is, I mean, I guess, yeah, sure, go for it. I mean, they're in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, I think they're in
Philadelphia. Like, that's all. I can get kind of hard weather-wise in the winter.
Yeah. I mean, she really loves the balcony, though. So really love. Do what you want, girl.
Her plan is, like, she's not going to live there that long.
No.
Because once they get immortal life. Oh, we'll get to that. basically, like, then Sean accuses her of being a witch. Mm-hmm. He's fine with it. And then she just, like, talks to Jack about it.
Yeah.
And doesn't lie at all.
No, she's like, I'm absolutely a witch.
Yeah.
But though, Sean has a great line to one of her roommates, that witch is...
So, Rosemary, how's the baby?
Yeah.
Yeah, good time.
He's just, you know, hey, they're like hot goth girls. He's he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? Good. You know, he's not showing any type of like religious prejudice.
Yeah.
I do feel like you can be prejudiced towards a religion when they do try to sacrifice you to an immortal demon god.
And it's okay to ask questions.
Yeah. initially they're all like, oh, this is cool. Awesome. Yeah. And also, like, I guess good on Boy Meets World for not painting, I don't know,
which is
an automatic, like, yeah. Like Eric's or Jackson is like, oh my god, she's a witch. It doesn't mean like, oh, okay, cool, like that's your religion, cool.
Yeah, because I mean there are Wiccans, like, yeah, witches. Yeah, so like it's a thing that
it does, like, in a different world you could see where Candace Cameron becomes a regular, it's like their Wicca friend, and it's like, oh, cool.
Yeah, like this not be any like big deal.
But as soon as she's like, yeah, we some witches even help out with inner city kids, and Jack's like, oh really? And then she just mused like, yeah, what do you don't question me or something.
Now, we talked about the best line read earlier, which was Lil Friedel. That's the worst line read.
Oh no, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's... that and also later when she's doing the scary voice.
Oh my god, she's terrible.
It's rough. It's real rough.
Anyway.
So like that's letting us know, like, oh no, she's actually a bad witch, although we've known that the entire time.
Okay. Then
quickly, like, they get to the plane, the plane is tiny, Topanga freaks out, they find out that Eric tutored the pilot. Because the pilot is dumber than Eric. Whoa.
Why this exists is truly beyond me. I guess they need to fill time.
Yeah, what's scary is that plot. So this is when we get our Mr. Feeny scene. Thank God.
Oh, God. No episode is complete without a Mr. Feeny scene.
Love William Daniels. He's a must-have hottie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love all of his sweater vests. He's a fall fashion icon.
I'd agree with that.
We catch up with him holding a whole bunch of, like, candy above a bunch of kids who are, like, he's, like, basically holding it hostage so they say trick-or-treat vigorously. Like,
leave it to Feeny to turn, like, a fun holiday into a experiment in, like, following rules.
Yeah.
Like,
and then the candy he gives out is a pocket thesaurus.
Jesus, Feeny.
Love it. But then Eric comes, and we get... Are Eric Feeny scenes rare? This felt like a special moment.
Not really. They're not the most common, but they happen. And they're always like that, where Mr. Feeny is very exasperated. Like, when he sees Corey, he's like, oh, what now, Mr. Matthews?
But
Mr. Matthews?
Yeah.
He sees Eric, he's like, oh.
Oh, God, here we go. So Eric comes, and he needs to crash with Feeny because the vibe is weird at his place. And I'm wondering... Feeny still lives next door to his house.
Yes. This is correct.
So why does he need to crash with Feeny? Where are his parents? Yes. And also, is he not grown enough to just stay at his parents' house alone?
Also, like, does he have any friends?
Does he have
any other friends?
Well, he's really upset about this whole Jack thing because he's just like, I thought we were friends, but he's made it clear he just wants to be roommates. And he's just like very beside himself.
Oh, he's very, very upset.
And Feeny's advice is just like, just be honest. Just tell him.
And also, get off my lawn.
Yeah. I love after, like, Eric does this whole spiel of like, yeah, my roommate's dating a witch who wants to, like, sack a blah, blah, blah. Feeny's like, you're definitely not staying with me.
Oh, yeah.
It's
no.
Great.
Just also, aggressively more so, no.
After Feeny's just like, just tell him, be honest with him. And then Eric's response is, wow, you didn't even break a sweat on this one.
That's good. A good one. That's
and
a good line.
Immediately he gets a phone call from Corey, which, this doesn't really go anywhere. He calls Corey, or Corey calls Mr. Feeny. There's a split screen because Corey wants him to like break into like school records and tell him like to tell us like what the pilot's like IQ was or whatever.
And
then when Mr. Feeny finds out his name or whatever, he's like, oh, don't get on that plane. And it's like, oh, well, too late.
They're already in the air.
I
mean, again, it's just this very bad D plot just going along.
Yeah. And then that ties up the whole thing because after he gets off the plane phone, which.
Yeah.
Shocking.
The plane phone in the 90s.
Yeah, no, thank you. Topanga's flying
mm-hmm.
because the stupid pilot was smart enough to be like, oh, it'll help you go over your fear if you're actually in control of the plane.
And Topanga's smart enough that she could just fly a plane.
Like, yeah. Just, I guess once you get that high up, just coast maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. So anyway, back to the actual good plot.
Yeah. What the actual episode?
Shroud party. Like, that's what, like, it's honestly is like they've invited all their witchy friends over. They're all wearing like robes, like mm-hmm. velvet. Robes, and are they tied up yet?
Not yet. But
okay.
I really love how much Sean is digging the vibe.
Oh, he's
like,
loving
he
it.
Loves his robe. He loves everyone having their weird, creepy cloaks on.
Yeah,
their hoods. He's having a great time.
They make the mistake of calling it a costume, and Millie's like,
"How come everyone's wearing the same costume?"
It's not a costume.
I'm mistaken.
Oh my god, and then the witch scene with the trick-or-treaters.
Yeah, some trick-or-treaters come, and she gives out candy. It's very nice to two of them, but then the one that's little witch.
One for the little pirate, one for the little mermaid. Oh, and a little witch.
You don't get any because you mock us.
See, this is a line. The line is, you don't get any because you mock us. That's a funny line.
Yeah.
You should not deliver it the way she delivered it, which was going back to that creepy demon voice. That we just heard and wasn't funny then.
Yeah. It just made it cringeworthy.
No, it was just like, they needed to put an effect on it. They should have done something in post, like.
Yeah, or just do something like, just make it more lighthearted.
Yeah, just.
And you don't get any.
Because you mock us.
Because you mock us.
Yeah, that's it. If she had played this witch character as DJ.
Oh my god.
That
would
have been so much better.
It would have fit in with the tone of the show.
Yeah.
Like,
it also would have been playing to her strengths. It would have still been creepy when she had the turn.
Exactly.
Instead of like, she goes from being rude to demonic. Instead of being like sweet to demonic, which would have been funnier. But this is when we get what Millie's real name is. Ushkar, Queen of Malevolence, Daughter of Evil.
Jesus, I am very happy you wrote that down because I was like, there's no way I'm going to remember that one.
Ushkar. Later called Ishtar. So this is when we get what their plan is, which, okay, so the plan is, their balcony is like on a sacred place, and yet they put a crystal on the balcony, and when a comet comes by, the tail of Satan's comet is going to shoot Valeris, which I guess is a star.
Yeah, sure. That
comes into alignment through the Crystal of Death.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Crystal of Death shoots a laser beam at the sacrifice of a hunter, which then obliterates him and gives all the witches immortality. I wrote that this is the kind of horror movie that you would write when you're in high school.
Oh, definitely. I like to imagine that one of the writers, I guess it would be Steve Hibbert.
Yeah.
Which I have a fun fact about him later. Ooh. But, I like to imagine that he wrote that in high school or middle school. It's just been sitting on it for a while.
Yeah, just keep that in my back pocket.
I was like, you know what would be good right now? This.
It's so convoluted. And then they open up and there's a fucking crystal out there.
Oh, there's a giant crystal.
It's a giant crystal because, again, all this is real. In the canon of Boy Meets World, mm-hmm. witches are real. Crystals have power.
This actually happened.
Like, there is no, like, it was all a dream.
Nope.
There's no, like, oh no, that wasn't actually a beam of energy. That was like a flashlight. Like,
no, it was.
It was, no. It was. It, so
Jack
like,
and Sean were almost sacrificed for a second.
For a coven of immortal, a witch is seeking mm-hmm. immortality.
Yep.
But Eric is there. So they're tied up, and Eric's like, aha, I'm here too, and I know how to stop you because I got this. And what book does he pull out immediately?
Oh my god, what is that?
Oh, Bridges of Madison County.
That's it.
Which is great. And then like, no, and then he's like, oh no, I'm in this one. Witchcraft for Dum-Dums. Which is an amazing joke.
Yeah.
That's great.
Perfect for Eric. Really just solid writing
yeah.
for him this episode.
I love that mm-hmm. Witchcraft for Dum-Dum joke. But then that's when the Valeris lines up. The beam hits. The beam hits Eric.
He's completely fine.
He is fine because he used some sunscreen.
Yeah. And
so,
on his butt.
So I love how stupid and silly this is. I think the thing that makes it feel weird is Candace Cameron's performance.
Oh, completely. Because I love the ending of that. Because Jack asks him, like, oh, was any of this real?
Oh, yeah.
And Eric's like, maybe it was real. Maybe it wasn't. Let's go to the bar.
Yeah, he's like, who knows? Man, what part of our mind can comprehend anything? Who cares? Like...
It's like a perfectly lovely way to end it.
The tone of it is all great. Even like the convoluted Valeris and Death Crystal thing is all stupid, but like it's funny how stupid it is. The problem is that Candace Cameron, I think, feels like this is her Exorcist moment.
I think so too.
She's trying to play it too dramatic and it isn't funny enough.
It's like she couldn't decide on direction to go super dramatic or like jokey.
Because like imagine if she was just like... It doesn't, like, the DJ voice of, like, oh, yeah, so, like, Valeris is gonna come, and it's gonna hit the Crystal of Death, then you guys are gonna get obliterated, and we become immortal. Like,
it'd be perfect.
That would be...
It'd be dead on.
But instead, she's like, the thing... It's kind of like the X-Men, So, Joss Whedon wrote that what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning is the same thing that happens to anything else, and he wrote it as a Joss Whedon-y joke. But then Joss Whedon wasn't on set when Halle Berry had to deliver that line.
Oh,
and
no.
She delivered it like, what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning? And everyone was like, that was horrible. And Joss was like, yeah, because it was a joke. And so all of Candace Cameron's things seems like it was written as like, yeah, these are supposed to be jokes. But she's delivering it with just like, I'm going for the horror Oscar or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, would that be a directorial problem? I feel like it's like Candace...
It's on the director to be like, hey, this isn't working, change that.
But I just feel like she was really committed to this very specific choice.
Well, and I guess also she was a stunt guest casting, mm-hmm. too, because she's just off of Full House, mm-hmm. fresh off, like a season's only passed, and, you know, she's coming back to TGIF, like that's an alumnus coming back.
It's a really big deal.
So maybe they felt like they couldn't.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what was going on.
Maybe this is, I need to interview Candace Cameron specifically about this episode.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if I can make that happen. Halloween brings people together, etc. Then we get the stinger, which establishes that Sabrina the Teenage Witch takes place in the same universe as Boy Meets World,
mm-hmm.
because the end of it is Eric is now on a date on the balcony with dun-dun-dun, Melissa Joan Hart, Sabrina is there. He's worried about witches, which she's like, oh, whatever, like, it's fine. No.
Yeah.
They leave. He hollers at Sean that he's going out. Sean's a frog.
Yeah. Sean's a dead now.
Sean is just a straight up amphibian.
Yep.
That's how the episode ends.
Super cash.
With a weird, like, frog puppet. It's a big frog.
It's a giant frog.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very strange looking.
No, yeah. The camera's so close up on it. It's fully wild. And I guess in the beginning of the next episode, they explain how he turned back into a human.
Oh, definitely. They're never going to address that again. It's never going to happen.
It's such a lark of an episode that, like, this exists, and this was in the canon of a show that otherwise wasn't that silly.
It was very silly. Like, it didn't go this extreme.
Yeah, this is, like...
This is the most
breaking
extreme.
The reality of the show.
But, like, one of my absolute favorite episodes is the one where Eric stalks Topanga and, like, says that he's going to get her, and it's just throughout the episode, he's hiding in increasingly ridiculous places. Like, at one point he's like in a bakery cabinet, at one point he's like hiding in a painting, one time he's like in the couch cushion where she is. Like, Boy Meets World got weird.
That was great. Are you ready for some must-have facts
about
this episode?
Lay it down.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
How many people do you think watched this episode when it aired?
Really? 3.7.
10.2 million
Holy
people
shit.
Watched this episode, but it was ranked 68th for the week.
What happened to television?
Yeah, splintering of that fraction audience.
I think we died.
So, the top five shows the week this aired were Veronica's Closet at 5.
Okay.
4, Disney's Cinderella, the one with Brandy as Cinderella, and Whoopi Goldberg, and Victor Garber. And Whitney Houston.
Okay.
Yeah. Not coming to Disney Plus, though, yet, which is shady. Number 3 was a TV movie called Before Women Had Wings, which I'm going to read you the synopsis for in a hot second. Number 2 was Seinfeld, and number 1 was ER, which, yeah, makes sense. ER and Seinfeld, number 1 and 2. That, yeah. So, Before Women Had Wings.
Yeah. Let's hear about that one.
1997 television film based on, this is from Wikipedia, so I don't plagiarize, you know where it's coming from. Based on the story by Connie Mae Fowler about a mother whose abusive husband commits suicide. She then starts to violently abuse her two daughters. It is only then that a kindly black woman becomes good friends with her youngest daughter and helps the daughters escape her tortured life.
Oh my god.
And the kindly black woman is played by Oprah Winfrey, who is also a producer. That was the number 3 most watched thing that week.
Happy we're clear of some 90s tropes.
I'm glad that we now are aware of the black savior, of the magical black person comes in to change a white person's life narrative.
Let's just move away from that one permanently. That one's really not great.
But also it's like the fact that like the husband abused her and then she abuses the kids, and it's like, man, this is...
Well, also Oprah's involved.
Oprah, like, yeah.
Like, heavily involved.
Yeah, in it. Acting in it. And this is like Oprah had her show going.
Oh yeah, no. This is
97. Is like
she's
this
done
is
well.
This is like book club. I wonder if this was part of her book club.
It could be.
Truly wild. ABC's Friday night lineup at this time was a wild one. So tell me if you remember any of these shows.
All right, let's.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch kicked off the night.
Yeah, of course.
I know that. Then Teen Angel.
I know about that one, but I never watched it.
Yes. And then Boy Meets World, and then You Wish.
Nope.
And then 2020. So this is the weird season of TGIF right after Family Matters and Step by Step are bought by CBS.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the season. So Family Matters and Step by Step are on CBS at this time.
Okay.
Their final season. No one's watching them because they're on the other network.
Excellent.
And TGIF was like, we're going to go all in on supernatural shit. Because Teen Angel and I think, is You Wish About a Genie?
It feels right.
It has to be, right?
I feel like I used to watch commercials for You Wish. Like,
Was Teen Angel, were the Olsen twins on Teen Angel? Was someone on Teen Angel? I don't know. I should have looked up what Teen Angel was. That did not last long.
Let's just like imagine it in our heads.
It's
like,
definitely.
I imagine Teen Angel, there's like a lot of supernatural angst. There's like a couple who wants to be together, but they can't.
Someone,
because magic.
One's dead?
Oh, I love that.
I mean, one has to be dead because
one's
it's an angel.
Definitely dead. But the other can do magic.
Man, I don't like this.
Yeah.
I should do that at some point.
It's like a precursor to CW shows.
Maybe I should do like a magic march and I just do like all weird
supernatural
things.
Oh, I've got some for you from the CW vault.
What's your hot goss about Steve Hibbert?
Oh yeah, I've got one fact about Steve Hibbert.
Yeah.
He actually was a credited actor. And his best known role is the Gimp in Pulp Fiction.
Oh my, what?
Yeah.
What? Wait.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Did
According to IMDb.
Holy shit.
Right.
Wait, and he wrote Boy Meets World?
Yes.
Did he write a lot of Boy Meets World? Is this like,
wrote a good amount of Boy Meets World, but that's what IMDb says. And like, Pulp Fiction premiered 3 years before this episode.
I know, like...
So, like...
That is...
Gimp, and then...
Well, yeah, this episode is wild. So, I mean, man, did Boy Meets World ever do a Pulp Fiction parody?
That's the crossover we need.
On IMDb, 139 users rated this episode a 7.6.
I feel like that's fair.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say higher or lower. I would say, yeah.
I would give it probably like an 8.3, but that Topanga and Corey, really sunk it for me. It's so bad.
If you somehow folded Topanga and Corey in, like there could have been a B plot about Topanga getting, like, having her earthy stuff reawoken by all the witches and Corey being like, hey, babe, freaking me out. You're losing yourself.
Right.
And then when they start to sacrifice people to demons, she's like, oh, yeah, right, I don't do this.
Or even just like a little subplot where one of the witches is saying witchy things and Corey or Topanga like keeps on misinterpreting them.
Yeah.
Like just like a little dumb back and forth.
Wouldn't you want to see the two of them interacting with an actual like, if you got like a, trying to think of anyone that's actually like a good, like Gia from Full House, Marla Sokoloff. Trying to think of like an actual intense. If Christina Ricci wasn't too good for this, like it would be so great to see Corey and Topanga interacting with that energy.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Like, yeah. Like mixing up at like a punch bowl at that like weird shroud party.
Yes. I mean, I get why they wanted to move them away from the main plot because they're the more serious characters.
Yeah. Especially in this episode where they.
Right. Like, let Eric, Sean, and Jack handle this nonsense.
Yeah.
And then Corey and Topanga will drill into actual emotions and stakes and like be real people.
Yeah, I think a 7.6 is pretty good. I think that for a Halloween episode, this one is delightfully spooky and bizarre.
And it's like, fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. You couldn't get, you don't see shit that, you know, you don't see Satan on a family sitcom that often.
You really don't.
Like, she's put by, like, I worship Satan. Like,
and it actually is really weirdly heartwarming, especially, like, I feel like the last time I saw Satan on television was The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, they just try so hard to make
it he's creepy. Off-putting. Yeah. He's a goat. Like, they go straight up, like, old school, like, biblical goat Satan.
And there's so many depictions of Satan that are just like, ah, this is the most horrible thing, which makes sense because it's Satan. But it's kind of funny to see, like, just a
Candace
silly.
Cameron is worshiping him with, like, crystals and candles that she bought at the mall.
It's just funny.
Who had the must see performance in this episode? Oh. Candace Cameron.
Oh my god, no. Lies.
I would say Will Friedle.
Yeah, that's mine. Yeah. I mean,
it's an Eric showcase, tour de force.
Eric's great. He could be off putting if you gave him too much time, but I think this is just the right amount of Eric time.
Yeah, got a lot of good, he's so committed.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's no wonder that he's had such a career as a voice actor because, like, voice acting, you can really just. Go for it a lot more, I think.
Yeah, you really, like, he has that energy.
Yeah, it's a real cartoon energy.
Mm-hmm. He's basically a living cartoon. Yeah,
that's what this is. And lastly, must other people see this episode of television?
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, if the idea of Candace Cameron playing a fucking witch intrigues you, this episode delivers.
I think it's so bizarre. Like, it just, you gotta watch it to really appreciate this era of television.
I do wonder, what did the parents think of this episode? Like, TGIF was like family viewing, but I guess at this point the parents were like, what's with all these angels and genies and witches on TGIF? I remember Perfect Strangers.
Like, I wonder, like, it was transitioning to be more like teen focused.
The kind of thing that you would watch with your teen friends and not like me when me and my parents would sit down and then I would get excited when 2020 came on because I was weird.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's why I couldn't watch Boy Meets World because that was like an adult show.
Yeah, why? Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, this one, full on devil worship.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming and talking about Satan so much. Where can people find you on the internet if they want to talk about Satan and Boy Meets World and Halloween?
Well, you can read my work on Decider.com. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at Kale Cobb, KAYLCOBB. And yeah, that's me.
Ooh, werewolves of Boy Meets World. And that does it for this week's episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thanks again to my guest Kayla Cobb for dropping by and talking about Boy Meets World with me. Next time, we're going back to Disney World with Step by Step. Yeah, we're going to be talking about the episodes we're going to Disney World. You can stream those on Hulu. They are in Season 6, Episodes 22 through 23. And we're taking a quick little break, so that episode will be going up on November 5th. Just a quick 2-week break. And then we'll be back talking about Step by Step. We're going to Disney World, Season 6, Hulu. You got all that?
Until then, I want to hear from all of you. Tweet your questions about sitcoms to @MustHaveSeenTV. Follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram @MustHaveSeenTV. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review the show in Apple Podcasts. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram @BrettWhite. Read the words that I write at Decider.com. Music this week is from Vic Mizzy's 1960s Addams Family soundtrack. Thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Thanks to all y'all for listening. And I'll see you next time on Must Have Seen TV.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.